Thank you for the opportunity, and we thank the Lord for still keeping us well, the Lord still guiding us and providing us and shepherding us. Many out there have lost the Lord, their jobs, their families, their loved ones, and we still survive. I've seen companies closing down. I've seen those I love, some of my members losing their jobs. And you ask yourself, how are they going to survive? And their eyes, they turn and they look at you in the eyes as a pastor. How are we going to survive? You don't know. But one thing you know is the Lord is in control. The Lord provides. The Lord knows. It sounds easy said like this, but it's reality. He knows. And maybe even in our situation, let's just say, God, as much as you have done it with the rest of the people in the Bible, as you walked 40 years with the Israelites in the desert, you will again walk with us through this. May you be blessed in your situation, in your congregation, in your life, whatever needs you have, may you be provided by the Lord. For he knows your situation. Let's find the reading of the scripture from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and we read 1 to 15. It's one text. Somebody read it to me way back when I was ordained as a minister. It has never left my mind, specifically verses 10. But let's read from verses 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest in Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good, broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to my ear. I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptian oppresses them. Then verses 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let me repeat again verses 10. Come, I will send you. Where? To Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me. This is my name forever, forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout the generation. That's the word of the Lord, and may we be guided and live with it from now on and forevermore. Amen. Dear fellows in Christ, it is amazing indeed how the Lord works, how the Lord thinks. It is totally different from the way we look at things and how we view things. It is totally different how we think from what the Lord thinks. How he approaches things, how he wants things, it's different from our approach. And you know why I'm saying this? Because I look at myself and I look at my life and I see a lot of holes in my life. I see a comrade. I see a gangster. I see a township boy. Then there comes a question in my mind. What changed? What really changed to be who I am today? But the answer is very simple. It's all the grace of God. Maybe even you or some of you sitting here, when you look back in your life, you ask yourself, I have this criminal record. I have this type of life. I have these holes, this crookedness in my life. How did I come to be where I am today? What really happened? The only thing I can say, it's God's grace. And that's what we see from our text. God uses broken tool to accomplish a great mission he wanted to achieve. And indeed, with that crooked or that broken tool, the Lord achieved great wonders. I want to summarize the message of today in this way. God uses broken tool to accomplish his mission. God uses broken tool to accomplish his mission. But who is this tool? Who is this tool? Our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, speaks about Moses, whom God called and wanted to send him to Pharaoh with the purpose that Moses must go and release the people of God from slavery. And God says, I have heard my people's cry. I have seen how they are oppressed, and I came down to deliver them. Therefore, come, I sent you to Pharaoh. Now to focus on this verse 10. God says to Moses, I have seen all about my people. They are suffering. They are slave masters. Actually, their tears are before my eyes. Therefore, I want to send you, Moses, to go and release them from bondage. Who is this Moses? Was he a good candidate for this mission? And those are the questions we ask. Was he a good candidate? Was God making no mistake by choosing Moses? Was God not doing a mistake by choosing Moses? Who is this Moses? We look at the credential. We try to figure out, what kind of a person is this Moses that God desired to send to accomplish this great mission of releasing his people from bondage? When I started, I said, I see holes in my life. I see a certain character in my life. Then the question is, what happened? What changed?
But who is this Moses that God says, come, I will send you to release my people whom I see suffering? Quickly, this Moses was born during the time of Pharaoh persecution to the Israelites. Now we all know that his mother actually tried to hide him in the house. Then later, the mother discovered a plan on how to hide Moses among the reeds. Now further, we know that Moses was picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh and raised him as an Egyptian. First, he was raised by his mother. Then he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And when we read in the book of Acts chapter 7 verses 22, we see the following words. Moses, he was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in words and in deeds. In other words, he was raised well. The question is he a good candidate? Is he a good messenger? Is God not doing a mistake by choosing this man? Further, we know that the very same Moses had zeal for God and for God's people. How do we know that? For after he had grown up, he arose to defend of his people. That we read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11. That now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren looking after their burden. He knew who he was. In Hebrews chapter 11, the very same words comes. By faith, Moses actually refused to be called a child of Pharaoh. And over and above, if I can read this, the question is, God says, come, I will send you. To do what? To release my children. Why? Because I've heard their cry. I have seen their affliction. I have seen their suffering. And their tears have come before my eyes. I want to send you to go and release them. And the question is he a good candidate? Is God not making a mistake? And that's something that I ask myself every day. Did you not make a mistake with me? Did you check my credential? Did you check who I am? Did you check my life record? And over and above, looking into the credential, Moses, the very same Moses, was a shepherd. After he ran away, he became a shepherd for 40 years. He learned to be patient. He learned the ways in the desert. He knew the desert. Actually, that put his CV on a higher level. That's a great quality. And with this, brothers and sisters in mind, we can ask again, does Moses qualify to fulfill the great mission of God? Does Moses qualify to achieve the great call of God? Was God not making a mistake of choosing him? Yes. With what we have just read, Moses qualifies. Moses, it's a good choice. For God to achieve the great exodus. But you know what? If we examine thoroughly, we see something. We see brokenness. We see crookedness. When we examine carefully the question, is Moses capable, is made Moses a good candidate to achieve the goal, to achieve the mission? If we look very closely, then we can say no, no. In our today's world, No. Why? Because the very same Moses whom God calls, whom God says, come Moses, I want to send you. The very same Moses is a murderer. In our language today, it's a first degree murder. He murdered an Egyptian, and what did he do? He buried him in a sand. Secondly, the very same Moses ran away. The very same Moses was rejected by his own people when he tried to bring peace between them. They told him, ha ha, you killed an Egyptian. You want to kill me again? The very same Moses, what do we see? He went away for 40 years. What can we know about him? He might have lost track of the Egyptian. He might have lost the understanding of their suffering. For 40 years he was not there. Does he qualify being a murderer? No. But with today, such crookedness, such brokenness raises eyelashes, raises questions in our heart. Is God not making a mistake? But let me tell you, God says, come, I want to send you. How many of us can truly look in the mirror and say, I have a lot of brokenness in my life. I am a broken tool. I am a broken instrument. But I find myself today, you find yourself today, standing behind the pulpit, leading the people of God, preaching the gospel. What changed? Is it in you? Is it because of you? Is it because of your higher credentials? No. It's by the grace of God. It's through the mercy of God. It's through the credential that God desires. God says to Moses, I want to send you to release my people from Pharaoh. Now, if you look very clearly, on the very same chapter, Moses comes and says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Because one, I can't speak. Thinking of I'm a murderer. Actually, I ran away from there. I am nothing in actual fact. He is hunted in Egypt. Who am I, God, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring your children out of Egypt? Secondly, God, if I come to your people and they ask me, who is that God? What shall I say? God, I'm not an eloquent in speech. I can't speak. Please leave me alone. God uses broken tools to achieve his mission. Moses was broken, just like David, just like Paul. The only unbroken tool is Christ, who achieved our salvation. And yet we read, come, I will send you. Now I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, is this a mistake from God? No. Did God not consider these things about Moses? He did. Now I ask you, did God not make a mistake by choosing you? Did he? It's time we introspect ourselves. I don't deserve to be where I am. But it's all by the grace of God. That you find yourself today serving as an instrument in His kingdom. Some of you might be murderers. Some of you might have done mischievous things. Some of you might have criminal records. But today, you find yourself serving in His kingdom. Did God make a mistake? No. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. He justifies what He calls. He strengthens what He calls. He empowers what He calls. One of my friends asked me one day, "Are you really an umfundisi, Baba? I thought you were joking." I almost answered him. But I said, "I'm not going to answer this one." But I asked him a question. "What do you mean?" "I was a comrade." "And not just a comrade, a comrade." So you can just conclude. But then I look at those brokenness. I look at those holes. Then I look at God and I say, "God, didn't you make a mistake?" God did not make a mistake. With Moses, with you, with me. It pleased God to call this particular sinner to perform this particular great task. And since God calls, there can be no objections to Him. From Moses, from Pharaoh, or from the nation. Then this reminds me of the word of God when He spoke to Ananias in the book of Acts chapter 9, when He said, when Ananias spoke to God, but Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he comes with authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." It's not about how the instrument is. It's about who handles the instrument, because it's God. And this brings me to my second point towards the end. Moses, the tool in God's hand. And when you read chapter 4, you can see what great wonders Moses performed in front of Pharaoh and the nation. And then you can conclude the story until the Exodus day. But then, this whole story starts somehow. It starts with a burning bush, and then Moses trying to go and see what is happening at the bush. And now the Lord stops him and introduces himself. Now, I want us to listen to this. When the Lord introduces himself, he says to him, "Remove your shoes. Because the place where you are standing, it's a holy place." That means you're coming in the presence of the Lord, the great God, the Creator. And which God is this? And then he says to him, "I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." The significance of these words was very much clear in the ears of Moses. He was the Almighty God, the God of my fathers, the God of history, He who does not forget His promises. Now, the very same God who says to Moses, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac." The very same God. It is the very same God who says to Moses, "Come, I send you."
It is the very same God who made a promise to Abraham for a son, and he fulfilled it. It is the very same God who took Jacob out of poverty to Egypt and sustained him. It is the very same God who took Joseph from where he was to the higher level in Egypt. Moses knew about this God. The very same God says to him, I am the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Come, I send you. Then Moses asked God, I can understand, but if I come to your people and tell them, your God sent me, and they ask me, who is that God? And listen to what God says. I'm showing you that Moses is in the hand of the Creator. Despite his brokenness, despite his weakness, despite his evil life, he is in the hand of God. God uses us as he wishes. And God says to Moses, tell them, I am who I am. Simply meaning, tell them, you are sent by God Almighty, the God who is totally, complete, self-sufficient, the God who does not depend on anything, not from you, not from Pharaoh, the God of the beginning and the end. Tell them, I am, send you. And you know what? That God who said to Moses with a poor qualification, come, let me send you. Moses, through that God, through that I am, through the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham, Moses will be an instrument, a tool in a hand of a powerful God. It doesn't matter our background, the pain we might went through, the brokenness we might have experienced, the suffering you might have experienced. It should be joy in your heart that by grace you serve in God's kingdom. And all what we can do is to say glory to God. Because it's not about me. It's about his glory. And the very same Moses will achieve a great mission he is called to. Because what? In verses 12, God said, I will be with you. You will be in my hand. I will empower you. I will strengthen you, in other words. I will walk with you. They will see my wonders through you. As I come towards the end, dear members of Christ, let us be clear. Moses was nothing more and nothing less than a tool, an instrument in the hand of the Almighty God. It is all grace that he found himself being called by God. Paul once said in the book of Corinthians, I prayed 3 times to God to help me remove the thorn in my flesh. But listen to the answer of God. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Moses achieved the greatest exodus in the world. Despite being a murderer, the grace of God was upon him. The hand of God was upon him. He justifies what he wants to justify. He calls who he wants to call. He uses what he wants to use. Despite what we see in our eyes, he says, come, I will use you. For what? For my glory. Not for your glory, not for my glory, not for your fame, not for my fame, but for his glory. Now I ask you as I close, are you a good candidate? You don't need to tell us. You don't need to raise up your hand and say no. But you know in your heart, are you a good candidate for the ministry of God? Ministry, I don't mean only preaching, but serving in his kingdom. Are you a good candidate? Or are you a good preacher? Or are you a perfect choice of God for preaching his word? Do you deserve to be there? Or how many skeletons really have you hidden? Those are the questions normally I ask myself. And I say, by the grace of God, then I'm able to look back and say, God, through your love, you turned me to be who I am today. And you know what I can say? Thank you, because that's for your glory. And when you look in your life, you can't boast, as Paul says, I cannot boast. But all I can say is glory, for the power of God rest in me. I am nothing, just as you are nothing, but an instrument, a tool in the hand of God, ready to achieve great things through him who strengthened you. For his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being a great God. I thank you for being a merciful God. Thank you for being a Father whom you are. For through Christ, we find ourselves being called your children, servants in your kingdom, and specifically your children who are called by your name. We don't deserve that, God, but you made it through Christ. And we can look in our lives, all of us, God, and we can cry before you and shut up because of our sins. And as the Holy Spirit guides us, strengthening us each and every day, we are able to say thank you for choosing us, for giving us an opportunity to spread your gospel, to serve in your ministries, to bring your name to the nations, despite all the weakness. Because when we are weak, then we are strong through the greatness of the Holy Spirit. May you give each and every one of us, Lord, the needs we need in life, in ministries, in our families. May you provide us, Lord, with food, clothes, and especially life, that we may be able to serve you in a faithful way. And I pray
for each and everyone, his family, that wherever they are, some might be sick, some might be experiencing poverty, some might be experiencing rejection, but you know their situation. You know their suffering. You know what they need. And may Holy Spirit be upon them to be healed, comforted, and be guided into your ways. And not forgetting the management of the college, the principal, the dean of the students, and all the students, the staff, and everybody who has been called to serve in this place. I give them into your hands, Lord, that you may use us faithfully, all of us, that despite whatever weakness we have, that you may use us faithfully in the fear of your name. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, as we leave this place, be the one who instill your word in our minds and in our hearts to love you dearly, follow you more nearly. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen.